And good morning. You're listening to WGBH's Morning Edition. It's now 8:23. Jurors in the trial of Boston Marathon bomber Zohar Saniyeh have the day off today. But yesterday, on day 14 of the trial, they experienced several hours of technical testimony, followed by emotional testimony from the medical examiner on how one of the victims was killed. Joining me now in the WGBH studios, two of our expert team of reporters who've been covering the trial at the federal courthouse in Boston every day, Emily Rooney and reporter Philip Martin. Welcome to you both this morning.
Good morning, Bob.
Well, Emily, first of all, let's start with you. You've been covering this trial all week this week. Tell us some of your observations.
Well, earlier this week, there was a terrorism expert on the stand, and they grilled him for basically a day and a half. It kind of crossed over into a second day. Matthew Levitt, he was basically trying to establish that Zohar Saniyeh himself had all these Islamic chants, these anashids, as they call them, and documents from Inspire magazine on his devices, on his iPad, on his, iPhone, on his computer. And the expert was saying, at some point, it doesn't matter who downloaded them. They were on his devices. He was clearly listening to them. In fact, the expert said, at some point, you've checked that box. He was very feisty. The defense tried to discredit him, saying, well, you're being paid $450 a day. You tweeted out some of the mentions of yourself in the Globe. But I thought he was very, very credible.
Mm-hmm. And, Philip, yesterday we had some graphic testimony involving one of the victims, Crystal Campbell. How did the jurors react?
Well, as you might expect, many were emotional. This testimony was extraordinary. Dr. Jennifer Hammers, a medical examiner who now lives in New York, who performed the autopsy on Crystal Campbell here in Boston when she lived here, Hammers was the last witness of the day, and she described basically, this extraordinary graphic detail about how this bomb
split her legs open.
It destroyed her body. You hear autopsy reports quite often in ways that are antiseptic. Yeah. This was so graphic and so detailed, and the jury was and the witness were the only ones who were able to view the autopsy photos. They weren't shown in the court. You had friends of Crystal Campbell there. You had reporters there, but everyone grasped exactly what this meant, regardless of not seeing the photos.
By the way, they were allowing people to see them afterwards.
But not during the testimony.
If people wanted to go upstairs and see them, they could.
And one of the issues they seemed to focus on was how long she may have suffered before she died.
They wanted to make it clear that she didn't die instantly, that she bled out and it would take up to a minute. So they made that very clear that she suffered.
That's right. And what they extracted from her body were pieces of metal and pellets. Yeah. Now, the point, of course, of this type of testimony is to hammer home just how vicious of an act this was. It was you began the testimony with descriptions of Martin Richards, the young man, 8-year-old child who was killed by the bomb. And by the way, as far as the government side, that's how the trial will end. The government will rest its case on the autopsy.
They're actually
reports.
Going to bring his clothing into court. They have determined not to bring the clothing of either Lingzhi Liu or Crystal Campbell, but they're going to bring the clothing of Martin Richard.
Well, this raises the question of what will they have left for the death penalty phase of this trial?
They're going to start all over. That's the thing that I think some of the same witnesses are going to be back. It's going to be different kinds of descriptives when you get to the death penalty phase. But the same people, it'll be more emotional, I think, than you're not going to need the details of the bombs that we heard this week for almost 2 days, how those bombs were put together, how they, extracted this powder from fireworks and that kind of thing. I think we won't hear that kind of thing again, but you will hear the emotional suffering of the victims.
Now, can we expect much cross-examination from the defense, or they have been relatively quiet during this phase? What do you think?
Well, at this point, I think we're transitioning from the government. As I said, the government's about to rest their case likely on Monday. And the defense takes over. This will last probably no more than 3 or 4 days.
Yeah.
And it has to last because they have to contest 17 capital crime charges. There are 30 counts altogether. 17 of those, of course, call for the death penalty. And they're going to spend time on each of those counts trying to basically show that it was Tamerlan Tsarnaev who was the mastermind behind this plot and this bombing, and not Zahar Tsarnaev.
Yeah, but because of these mitigation rules that the judge put into place, they can't do that until the penalty phase comes up.
Right.
So while they can call defense witnesses next week, they can't use that argument until the penalty phase.
Well, they can't use it explicitly. What they will do is try to get around that by introducing, I'm going to assume they're going to introduce some experts in addition to those who know Zahar Tsarnaev well. They're going to introduce experts to try to suggest that, of course, he was coerced. Of course, there was a level of coercion that resulted from a domineering brother. I assume that that is what they're going to do, use a psychological and emotional testimony to try to hold their
point. We don't know who they're going to call yet.
That's right. We don't. We haven't seen that list yet.
Would they? Well, of course, we're still in this guilty phase of the trial, guilt or innocence phase of the trial. However, they've already admitted that he's done it. So, I mean, this is what? How long do you think the jury
deliberations?
Would deliberate?
I know. I think that's a question that everybody wants to know. I think the jury will do the right thing and go through as many of
several charges.
They'll go through all the charges and they'll look back at the testimony. But I'm sure they'll take a quick, poll of the jury. Everybody will say guilty, and then they'll go back and look at all the data. I think they would take a day or two.
Yeah.
Think so far?
Yeah, I think Emily's correct. They're going to basically. Basically do justice to that which they were in charge with doing. They're going to basically take that very seriously.
Has there been any indication that Tsarnaev himself might take the stand?
That's a subject of great debate among the reporters up there covering the trial. I can't imagine he will. And his attitude in court is so disengaged and dismissive that I can't imagine him changing if he got on the stand.
Really? That's his demeanor during this trial?
Well, I think Emily and I disagree somewhat because my perception is it's almost resignation. And disengaged might be an appropriate term. It might, in fact, be the correct term. But I think different reporters have different perceptions of what is going on with this defendant. It's hard to know. Sometimes you're looking dead on when you're in the overflow room, and he seems, as I've said, resigned. Others have noticed that he seems to be, some have used the term, aloof.
Yeah, I would say that. He has this weird thing where sometimes he walks by the witness box on the way out of the courtroom and raps on it. He gives it a knock like that.
Which is what he did with the bomb expert yesterday. Yeah. Quite interesting.
I want to thank you so much, Emily Rooney and Philip Martin. They've been covering this trial for the last couple of weeks and will continue to do it for us here at WGBH. Thank you both for joining us
on
Morning
thank
Edition.
Thank you, Bob.
And for more on the trial, both Emily, Philip, and Adam Riley's reports and all of our debriefs, you can go to our website at wgbhnews.org.